1993. January 20th, 1993 was a tough day for us, but we had 2.5 months to get used to the idea, and my mind had already gone home to Houston. We spent the last few weeks saying some very emotional goodbyes to the Republican members of the Senate, George's cabinet, the military at Camp David, all the armed services at Fort Myer, the White House staff, and our many dear friends who lived in Washington. The hardest goodbyes were to our children who lived there, Darrow and Bobby Cook, Marvin and Margaret, and all their children. How we had loved it when they dropped in. They all left town the week of Bill Clinton's inauguration, with the exception of Bobby.
Fuck you!
Bobby, who stayed in Washington and came for dinner our last night in town. Another memory for those final days was a phone call George received from Billy Graham.
Fuck you!
Because of our close friendship, he was worried about what we would think if he accepted Bill Clinton's invitation to give the inaugural invocation. George assured him that nothing would please him more, and he meant it. By this time, I was sort of out of tears, emotionally wiped out. I wrote in my diary, "Well, this is the day. Both of us are ready. The news and the TV programs are full of end-of-term stories about George, his successes and his failures, and the new beginnings by Clinton. All this was expected, but we need to get out of here." The Los Angeles Times
Fuck you.
Has George leaving office with 68% approval rating. We have felt no ill will. End of diary entry. We came home to Houston to a totally unpacked house and flowers in the house and garden, all done by our new neighbors and friends. Longtime friends and the next-door neighbors, Jack and Bobby Fitch, were the ringleaders in this thoughtful, life-saving deed. Our days were spent getting used to being back on our own, living in a rented house with two dogs after 4 years in that glorious house. House with 93 staff. George set up his office, and we both had thousands of letters that needed answering. We realized fairly quickly how much life had changed.
Fuck you.
George W. came for dinner a few days after our return home. He wanted pasta as he was running the Houston Marathon the next morning. He was nervous about the race, as he wasn't sure he could make it. He finished in the middle of the pack. I had not cooked in 12 years, so it is not surprising that my pasta was not too good. In fact, it was dreadful. George W. was polite, but his dad said, "I like my pasta rare." By that time, I'd cooked about 5 meals and figured I was 2 for 5. My George told me the good news was that he had lost 2 pounds without even trying. I also hadn't driven in 12 years and was panicked about driving for the first time. It seemed easy,
stupid cow,
but I confess that I did not stray too far from our neighborhood for a long time. George told everyone in speeches that if anyone saw a blue sable station wagon on the road, get out of the way. One weekend we went to Galveston, just a short hour's drive from Houston on the Gulf of Mexico. When George went in to get a fishing license, the woman said to him, "You look familiar. Have we met before?" Something very similar had happened to me, although a while later. My good friend and neighbor, Mildred Kerr, and I went to Luby's cafeteria for lunch. A perfectly strange, attractive woman came over, put her face in mine, and said, "Aren't you somebody? I know you." She never took a breath and continued, "Are you a teacher? Have you waited on me in a store?" "Didn't you help me at Sears?" I never had a chance to say a word, but just kept nodding. And she left as quickly as she arrived, muttering as she went, I thought she was somebody.